Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Amazing Grace, Facebook, and YouTube family. Once again, it's a privilege to come into your living rooms this evening, and I truly believe that God has another word for us. Also, I want to just remind those who didn't catch Sunday morning's message, I really, really would ask you that you would go back to the archives of YouTube and Facebook and just revisit that message. I believe it was a profound and prophetic message that the Lord had given me. And so, but tonight, I have a message of hope, hope that God can see us through these times. And I know that right now we're anticipating our society to go back to normalcy, but I'm here to let us know that it's going to be God's timing. God's timing will release us to go back. And I pray that when we do go back, we will be effective. We will be stronger than we were as a church, as the body of Christ. I truly believe, saints of God, that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for such a time as this, that we can be a different maker. And so I'm excited about this message. And are we ready? Do you have your notebook and pencils? Do you have your Bibles? That's more importantly. And so pray with me as we enter into God's word. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read together verses 6 through 10. I've entitled this evening's message, Help Me Go Through This, Lord. Help me go through this, Lord. Let's open up that screen right now, and we can see that right now we are living in perilous times. These are times that are trying each and every one of us. But I'm here to let you know that it's through the strength of the Lord, the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit that will see us through. And so are you there? Are you ready? Do you have 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10? And the Bible reads in verse 6, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, here's the key, saints of God. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, say that with me, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you had suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and that God would settle you. So right here on the screen, my friends, let's look at this. Trials, difficulties, and suffering bring out a variety of attitudes and responses. God is looking to see how we should react to this. How are we reacting to this situation that's taking place, this COVID-19 right now? And so, saints, some people become angry with God for allowing the situation, while others are able to rejoice in him, knowing that he's doing something good in their lives, even through the midst of a trial. And it's a severe trial for some. It's a hardship. I've looked at the lines in Pittsburgh and Ohio where 10-mile long lines just to get food right now in our nation. There's people going through right now. They're going through hard times. But one of the most common responses, saints of God, is to want to know why this has happened. Have you questioned that? Why has this thing happened to me? Why has this thing happened to our town? Why has this thing happened to our state? Why has this thing happened in our nation? Well, so let's look at this. Let's dissect this message tonight. Let's ask God to reveal things that maybe we didn't see. Well, let's look at this. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this storm, of this trial? That we're asking God, God, I want this to be done now. I want it to be over with. What's the purpose? And then the next question would be, why me? Or my children? Or my family? God, where are you in all this? You see, we ask these kind of questions, and there's nothing wrong with asking these questions. But I'm here to let you know that God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all mercy. He has the ultimate answers for us, saints of God. And yet so many times we don't even understand, and God doesn't reveal the reason to us immediately. And so the question is, how should we respond? How do we respond? Let's look at this right here. When you don't understand why something has happened, remember some basic truths that we're about to expound right now. There's some basic truths to expound right now. First of all, we need to understand that, let's look at this on your screen right here. The Lord's perspective is what? Complete. There's nothing in God that lacks. We're the ones that lack. Sometimes we lack understanding. Sometimes we lack knowledge, and we're looking for interpretation. We're looking for answers. But God has all the answers. You see, saints of God, Jesus, having full knowledge of the past, present, and future, ours, on the other hand, is very limited. Our thoughts are very limited. That's right. Which sometimes leads us to the wrong attitude toward God and even the situation that's at hand. And so, but saints of God, the Lord understands every facet of the difficulty and knows why it has happened and what he desires to accomplish through it. You see, I'd rather believe God's word. I'd rather be comforted by his spirit. I'd rather have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, than to come up with my own understanding. Because our thoughts, sometimes they get diluted by the situation at hand. But let's look at Jeremiah. Let's look at what he says. I love what he wrote. He says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will what? Listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart." That is the key right now for each and every one of us, saints of God, is to seek the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Ask God. God wants to give us the answers. God wants to speak to us, but he's looking for you and I to spend that quality time with him. He's looking for those divine appointments that he wants to have with you. That's right. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you. And God wants the best for you and your family and your life, even in the midst of this horrific trial right now. Secondly, let's look at this. The Lord, he's full of love. I hope you know that. That's right. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. God is for us. He's not against us. God is with you. God is with me. And I praise God for his goodness. I praise God for his grace. I praise God for his mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, saints of God, his righteousness, his mercy, his goodness, and his kindness. There's so much depth. In other words, it'll never expire. God has a well that will never run dry of goodness and grace and mercy toward us. And whatever he's allowed in our lives is motivated by these qualities. That's right. God is doing something in your life. I hope you know that. Yes, that's right. Maybe some of you haven't just sat still before him. God is doing something right now, right? God is speaking to you. God is, I believe what God is doing, saints of God, he has hit the reset button in our lives. That's right. We're all starting all over again. Praise God. But he's doing it for a good purpose. He's not allowing this to punish us. He's allowing us to see his glory and his grace, that even during a pandemic, that God will see us through, that God loves us. Look what King David wrote in Psalms right here. He wrote this, surely, look at this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Say that with me, saints. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. This is the promise that God has for us. You see, saints of God, this too shall pass. This pandemic shall pass. And God, his established perfect will be in place. It has never moved. It has never changed. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so thirdly, saints of God, let's look at this on our screen. Thirdly, God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. That's right. See, we got these little puny little brains, you know, but God, his knowledge, his wisdom is beyond comprehension. You got to remember, there are three types of atmospheres. There's three types of heavens the Bible calls. The first one is this atmosphere that we live here on this earth. And, you know, we can only go so high and we can only jump so high where gravity is the law that keeps us to this earth. But then when you get past our atmosphere, then there's the stars and the heavens and the galaxies and the stars and the moon and the comets and all that. There are trillions and trillions and trillions of light years apart from one another. And then the third heaven is where God lives. That's right. That's right. God is vast. And that's why you need to trust in what he says about us, what he says about you. Look what Isaiah wrote down right here. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see that? I'd rather listen to the Lord God Almighty. I'd rather glean on the scriptures. I'd rather believe what he has said about the situation in my life and the situation that's happening in your life right now. You see, saints of God, there are some things that we will never understand. Why? Because they are beyond our human comprehension. That's why we need to give up our quest for understanding and just let the Lord handle it. Can I get an amen? He has it all figured out. He knows the day when we will be released, and I hope it's soon. But we also don't want to rush out there and get contaminated. So we got to wait on God. I want to wait on God. That's right. I have mixed emotions when it first happened. You know, I thought it was a hoax until a dear friend of mine, a friend of the family, someone that was close in our community, you know, attracted that COVID-19, and he's not with us anymore. That to me, I had a paradigm change. That to me spoke volumes. That to me hit home. That to me told me that this thing is real. It's just not numbers on a screen that you see on the news. No, this thing is real. So we need to be cautious about it. We got to wait on God. Can I get amen? Fourthly, we should rely on what's written in Lamentations as we go through our trials. Why? Because God's goodness, his love, his mercy won't run out because they are new every morning. And the Lord is always faithful to keep his promises. Let's look at Lamentations right here. Lamentations 3:22. Look at this. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that even when this thing attacked our nation, hallelujah, we are still here praising God and worshiping God and loving him. Why? Because his compassions fail not. Thank you, God. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Say that with me, saints. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Praise God. I don't hope in the economy. I don't hope in a stimulus check that whether it comes or not. My hope is in Christ. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. And so, saints, Peter the apostle, he advises us to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. He's asking us to cast all of our cares, our anxieties, our fears, our phobias on him. And the key is also to resist the devil. See, old Slewfoot wants to come into your life. He wants to inflict fear. He wants to tell you, man, it's over now. The whole world is going to be annihilated. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come for his church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And guess what? The devil knows that, and his time is numbered. That's right. And when he comes and buffets you, you got to remind him that soon and very soon he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. And he will no longer be our foe anymore. He will be distinguished from this earth by the grace of God. And so we need to recognize that, to resist him and stand firm in the faith. Can I get an amen? And recognize that our sufferings are only for a little while in comparison to eternity. Praise God. Look what it says right here in 1 Peter. Let's go there. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 10. Look at this. Peter wrote this down. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, what? In due time. Casting. That means everything. All your fears, all your phobia, everything. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 9 here. Verse 9. So the key is resist him. Sometimes you have to turn off the fake news. Sometimes you got to just resist. Don't let your eye see anything evil. And don't allow ungodly things to come to your ears. Resist him. Be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, say that with me, saints, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and then he will what? Settle you. Praise God. Praise God. God is starting to settle us right now. That's right. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us in our homes, when we have to go to the grocery and back, when we can't be released yet into society. God is speaking to us. Hallelujah. And so let's look at this for a moment here on the screen. Whenever you experience pain, disappointment, or distress, question is, how do you respond? How do you respond? Do you have a fit? Do you complain? Do you kick the dog? What do you do? Huh? When things are not going your way. You see, many of us have a Burger King life. We want to have it our way. But God is saying, oh, slow your roll right now. I'm doing something new in your life. And God is going to get the glory out of it. Can I get an amen in the house? So let's look at some principles here. How do you respond? Well, number one, let's look at this. Do you see it as God's way of getting your attention? Huh? I've heard it said best like this. People that are involved in ministry, a lot of times they get so wrapped up in ministry, they fail to establish a unique relationship with him. Everything's ignored. In other words, that quiet time, that intimate time with the Lord. We're all busy doing so many things. But guess what? God has quieted that, all of it right now. He's got all of our attention. He wants us to look unto him. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, saints of God, this should be our first thought when a trial of some kind suddenly hits us. And it hit us quickly. Come on, we were in church about a month and a half ago, praising God. Doing business as usual. And sometimes God has to use strong means to get us to focus on him. Why? Because we often pay little attention to him when our lives are running smoothly. It's when things are going good. You know, I'll pray when I get up. And some of us don't even bother to get on our knees to thank God. But if an accident, a job situation, or trouble in our family hits, we're stopped in our tracks and immediately turn to the only one that can help us. Can I get amen? And he's always there. Despite of ourself, he's always there. Oh, yeah, look what King David wrote in Psalms right up here. He wrote this: the Lord also will be a refuge for the what? Oppressed. A refuge in times of trouble. And we're in trouble right now. I hope you know that. We are. Listen, when 15,000, close to 16 now, have died in New York City, we're in trouble. That has far eclipsed 9/11. 9/11, when the terrorists hit in 2001, it was 2,996. Now it's close, a little over 16,000. God is shaking again. He's doing another shaking. I hope this time the church and the culture will take heed. We'll see how many run back to church when we're allowed to go back? We'll see how many will be on fire. Or is it going to be business as usual? Are we going to get patriotic like we did in 2001? We were just waving the flags. God bless America. No, God has blessed America. America needs to bless God. Can I get an amen? We need to bless God. We need to thank God. We need to thank God for our lives and for our homes and our family and shelter and food and clothing on our back. We need to have a heart of gratitude. Can I get an amen? And it says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, the Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? That's the key. It's to seek his face. That message I preached on Sunday morning, you need to go back and listen to that message. It was very profound and prophetic. Is we do need to seek the face of God more than ever now. Because we don't know what's on the horizon. You know, we don't know if there's going to be new types of shaking taking place. I've heard it said, and you saw the prophets I put up on Sunday morning. They see some horrific things coming. But all that can be diverted. All that can be on stay. How? By seeking the face of God. By repenting. By turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. Let's look at our second principle right here. Is God using this to remind you to be totally dependent upon him? Or are you dependent on that stimulus check to come? Or whether it does or not? Or all these... all these programs, SBA has, well, try to even apply, and the computer will crash on you. Listen, my comfort, my hope is in God. I hope that's your mindset. It is the Lord God Almighty. Jesus said that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That's found in the book of Philippians. So saints of God, the Lord's will is that we always rely on him for every aspect of our lives. But our natural tendency is to get along without him. When we can handle life on ourselves, and I got this covered. You know, don't worry, God, I got this. However, saints of God, when we suddenly realize we're now helpless, we become in desperate need, and we will need God. We're so frail, saints. I hope you know that. We're frail. A lot of times we just need to humble ourselves. We need to let pride go and we need to rely on God. Can I get an amen in the house? And so the key is to trust him. How many of you right now can just raise your hands and say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, God. Well, I want to be counted in that group. I want to be counted in that number. Lord, I trust you, God. That's right. King Solomon wrote this in Proverbs right here. This is probably on your refrigerator door. Maybe this is written on your Bible. Maybe now God is making this illuminate and making it real in your life. But in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all, not with some, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall what? Direct your path. That's right. He will. God loves you. He really does love you, and he wants the best for your life. He wants to bring glory, his glory through your life, if you allow him to use you in a mighty way. So thirdly, could this be a satanic attack? Oh, yes. Old Slewfoot, he's always at work. That's right. He's always at work. And he is the author of death. I hope you know that. He hates everything that God has created and has instituted for mankind. Everything that God created holy, Satan comes and perverts it. That's right. The natural use of a man and woman to come together as one, that has been perverted. Go back to my message on Sunday and you'll see the scriptures that I use. Don't have time to go through that right now. But he is a real adversary. He wants to destroy everything that's good, everything that's holy, everything that's righteous. Why? Because he opposes God because he was thrown out of heaven. That's right. When pride lifted up in his heart, he was cast down and he was booted out of heaven. And guess what? Many of the angels, the angelic beings up there, followed him. They became demons and they're all over the place. Oh, yes, they are. But praise God for Peter. Look what he says in Peter. He says this, be sober. In other words, don't be intoxicated with the culture. A lot of people think, oh, be sober. It means, you know, don't drink alcohol. No, it's don't be intoxicated with the culture. This culture right now is dark. Everything that Hollywood produces, everything that's on TV has been perverted. It's violent. It's very sexual, immoral. And God said, do not be sober. Be vigilant, though. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's his agenda. That's what he wants to do, is devour us. He wants you to crawl up in a ball of fear. And then he can pounce on you and cause you to have heart attacks, make you stressed out and make you lose your hair. Hallelujah. Praise God. So saints, since God has provided his spiritual armor for our protection, you and I, we must put on every day so that we could expect. That's right. Expect the wiles of the devil to come. Oh, yeah. He'll come for a season and then he'll go away. And then he'll come back again. And so we are admonished in the book of Ephesians. Let's go there. Look at this. Ephesians right here. Paul wrote to this church. He said, finally, brethren, be strong. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our might. Our might will fail us. Our strength will fail us. We need his power. You need to have the Holy Ghost and empowered by him. Can I get an amen? He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why do we need to put the whole armor on? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's a real foe. That's right. And his aim is to destroy you. His agenda is to abolish and do away with you. Why? Because he sees the mighty hand of God upon your life. And he wants to distract you. He just wants to literally obliterate you so that you will not be a voice. Now look what it says here. Look what it says here in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this present age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow. Saints of God, let me just say this. The reason why Paul the Apostle gave an illustration of a Roman soldier and putting on the armor, which is what? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace, your loins girded up in truth. Why did he portray a Roman soldier? Let me just say this. All the protection was in the front. So, in other words, if a Christian soldier or a Roman soldier, as we're talking about, if he were to retreat and turn, there is no protection on his backside. It's all in the front. And so this is why we, as believers, we need to keep moving forward in faith. Can I get an amen? Why? Because we'll be able then to withstand the wiles of the devil. He's a real foe. See, all the armor, all the protection is in the front. And so this is why God is saying, never retreat. This is why backsliders, when they retreat, they fall into despair. And some of them, my goodness, are crushed. Why? Because they turned their back on the Lord, and now the devil had his way with them. So God is saying, stand, be firm. Hallelujah in Christ. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So my next question is this. Is God testing your faith? I know my faith is being tested. Is your faith being tested? Oh, yes. You see, saints of God, the Lord's purpose in using trials to test us is not to see what we will do. He already knows that. But to strengthen our faith through the experience, that's the key, saints of God. He wants us to understand that every hardship of pain is an opportunity for spiritual growth and ever-increasing trust in him. That's right. How many of you could honestly say this, what was written in the book of James? Let's go to James 1. Can you honestly say this? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? I'm supposed to count this as joy? Look at this. Knowing that the testing, say that with me, that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let every patient have its perfect work. that you may be perfect and complete, lacking of nothing. Praise God. Praise God. That's what God is looking, saints. He's looking for us that when our faith is being tested, that we can rely on him, that we can have complete joy in the midst of turmoil. That's right. That's a dichotomy. I mean, how does that clash? Well, it's by faith. You got to trust and believe God. And if you believe God is allowing the test in your life, he will see you through it. That's right. You'll never see it through if you backtrack and run. You got to walk in faith toward him and allow him to purify you. Allow him to bless your life. Allow him to speak mightily to you. Allow him to use you in mighty ways. Can I get an amen? So my next question is, do you have the right to ask God while you're going through pain or difficulty? Of course. Yes. Every one of us has that right to ask God. And guess what? God will answer. God will speak. That's right. Number one, it's a natural response to ask that question. It's a natural response. That's right. I've asked God many times, and he reveals some things to me. This is why you need to go back and watch that Sunday morning's message. These are things that God reveals when you seek his face. And so all those saints, our focus should be on how the Lord wants us to respond. We have the freedom to ask him why. We have that freedom, saints of God. He lets something bad to us. He allows it. And it's our given right to ask him why. If he allowed it, we can ask him. Can I get an amen in the house? Look at number two here. God is under no obligation to answer our question, though. He will answer it in his time. Praise God. You see, saints of God, as I read earlier, his thoughts are higher than ours, and he doesn't always share them with us. But he always invites us to use our suffering, what? To grow and learn through these situations of life. Our response determines whether we benefit from the situation or we suffer in vain. Are you suffering in vain, or are you learning something through this? I know God is teaching me some things. I know that when we are finally released back in society, whenever that day comes, I'm asking God, God, use me more effectively. Oh, God, give me more wisdom. Give me more compassion for the saints of God. Oh, allow me, oh, God, to minister more effectively. And don't allow me, oh, God, to take things for granted. See, we take things for granted, and then when they're gone, we go, wow, I truly miss this, what he had given me. Right now, there's many of you mourning right now to go back to business as usual, to go back to normalcy. I get that. That's our human nature. But as we wait upon God, allow God to use you. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to transform you. Allow God to just resurrect some things in your life that were once just cast aside. That's right. Many of you God has gifted. Many of you God has called. Many of you are running. Many of you God is saying, put on the brakes. Turn back to me. I want to bless you. I want to do a new thing in your life. Look what Colossians says right here. Let's go to Colossians 1:24. Paul wrote to this church and he said, look at this. Now rejoice in my sufferings for you. I now rejoice. Look at that. And fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is who? You and I, the church. We're the church. It's not a building. It's you and I who is the church. Look at verse 25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. What? To fulfill the word of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, there's purpose in this whole COVID-19. There's purpose. Yes, it looks bleak for some. And yes, just one life that's lost is devastating. Just one life. No one wants to see no one perish from any kind of sickness or accident or anything that comes their way. But I'm here to let you know there's purpose in all things. Let's look at our third principle right here. But sometimes the Lord will give us a reason, saints of God. You see, when Paul asked that his thorn in his flesh be removed, God told him that its purpose was to keep him from exalting himself. That's right. That's right. There's some people in ministries, they get all puffed up and they go, oh, look at me now. And guess what? Everyone right now across this world, across the nation, we're all level. The little guy in the little church and the big mega guy in the big mega church. We're all level right now. Everyone now has a voice to say. Everyone now has given a right to speak. Everyone now is equal. That's right. God is doing this. God is doing it for a purpose and for a reason. That's right, he is. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He wrote this. He says, unless I should be exalted above all measure by the abundance of the revelation. God filled him with revelation after revelation. He could have got puffed up and said, oh man, look at me now. But look at this. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. For what? It was given to me. Hallelujah. Look at, oh my gosh. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. God allowed him to stay humble. Now, we don't know what that thorn was. It could have been a sickness. It could have been an ailment. It could have been, we don't know what it is. All we know that it came to keep him in check. A lot of times we need to be put in check. Can I get an amen? We can't get exalted above anything. We're all equal at the cross. The Bible says that we all come together in the unity of the faith. You need to understand there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all equal at the cross. And so knowing this, Paul was able to rejoice. Why? Because he trusted the Lord and he recognized that he was protecting him from pride and teaching him to depend on others for Christ's strength, thereby ensuring the effectiveness of his ministry. See, the only way you're going to be effective in the ministry of the kingdom of God is you have to stay humble. You got to allow to be teachable. Yes, you could be walking, you'd be pastoring for years and years and years. But you know what? There are times when God wants to speak to you and we need to be humble and receive. A brand new Christian may come and say, hey, let me share this with you. We have to have a heart willing to hear and not to trample and step over. Can I get an amen in the house? Thank you, Lord. And so, saints of God, how should you respond to suffering and pain when you don't understand why God allowed it? That's a good question, isn't it? When you don't understand that he allowed these things to come into our life. Oh, yes. Let's look at this principle right here. Remember that you are a child of God and he's watching over you. That's right. He's watching over us. His eyes roam the earth to and fro. He sees every one of us all at once. He hears every one of us all at once. He understands. He knows what's in the heart of man. All at once. Why? Because he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. That's right. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He fills all space. He's everywhere at once. God is the creator of us. And he's looking for you and I to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's right. And so you may not understand his plan right now. But he knows exactly where you are and what he is accomplishing in your life. That's right. So number two, let's look at this. Recall that the Lord is always with you. He's always with you. That's right. I don't care where you go. You can travel and get on a cruise ship and go all over the world. He's there with you. You can go to the mountains in India. I think they're Himalayas. I forget what they're called, but it's one of the highest mountains in the world. He's there with you. That's right. You could go to the deepest part of the ocean in a submarine. He's there with you. He's there with you in your room. He's there whether you're doing awesome things for God or if you're entertaining the things of the flesh. He's there with you. And so this is why we can be comforted in the word of God that he will never leave us nor forsake us. How many believe that God will never leave you? Well, let's go to the word of God. Let's confirm this right here. Look at Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. In other words, just accept what's taking place. Be thankful what God has given you. And be content with such things you have. Look at this. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. I will not what? Fear. What can man do to me? What could this thing do to you right now? What could this COVID-19 do to you right now? What could man do to you if God is with us? Hallelujah. If he will never leave us nor forsake us. Praise God. Praise God for his goodness. Praise God for his faithfulness. You need to thank God. Hallelujah. That he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I praise God for that. I thank God for my salvation every moment, every day. I wake up saying, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done in my life. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. And so let's look at this third principle right here. Acknowledge that God has allowed the situation for his divine purpose. What? What do you mean divine purpose? Yeah. You see, saints of God, whatever has happened isn't an accident with God, but a vital part of his plan for your life. Each and every one of us has purpose in this pandemic. Oh, yes, it does. Where does it say that, Pastor Fee? It says it in the Word of God. Let's go to Romans right here. Look at this. Romans 8:28. Say that with me. And we know that all things, and all means what? All, including this pandemic. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose. You see, it's his purpose. It's not our purpose. This didn't take God by surprise. I hope you know that. God allowed this thing to take place. I believe, first of all, the Bible says that judgment first starts in the house of God. So God is doing some shaking right now, even in the church. God is reorganizing. God is cutting off some of this fat that just don't do anything good. That's right. He's doing a renewal. He's doing a new thing in our hearts. And when we come back, we should come back in the fervency. We should come back in the power of the anointing of God. We should come back preaching and teaching and sharing. When's the last time you told your neighbor about Jesus? Huh? Do they know what's taking place? Do they know anything about what's taking, especially the unbelieving neighbor? And there's a whole bunch of neighbors around where we live, don't they? Yeah. Knock on their door. Say, hey, you know what? I know you're going through. Maybe bring them up. Bring them a baked pie and then preach the gospel to them. When's the last time you had a heart to do that? Let's look at number four. Number four, thank the Lord in the midst of this situation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm thanking God every day. I'm thanking God for everything. Gratitude and everything, saints of God, is God's will for you according to Thessalonians when we get there. When your heart is receptive, the Lord will show you blessings for which you can be thankful even in the times of trouble and pain. That's right. Are you thankful even going through this trial right now? Paul wrote to this church, let me just say about Paul the apostle. This man was beaten by steel rods. He was thrown out of a second story place. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by snakes. He was chained to other brethren in the faith. And when he was chained, they didn't have all the amenities that Donovan Prison has. They didn't have the widescreen TVs and the running showers. No, they had rats in there. It was infested. There was feces and urination all over that place. They didn't have all the codes and all the city ordinances in there. No, they suffered in there, but he gave thanks. Even in prison, he rejoiced. Why? Because he knew that he was just a pilgrim passing through. He knew that this place, this earth, wasn't his home. He knew that there was a place in heaven awaiting for him. That's why he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that where your hope is? Or are you clinging on to this world that's perishing? This world is going to be renovated one day, and it's going to happen soon. And only those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ will reign and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ for the 1,000-year millennium. Are you preparing your heart for that? Are you ready for that? Well, look what he says right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look, let's read that scripture. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He said in everything. That's right. How do you give thanks to COVID-19? Well, give thanks to God that he's allowed you to spend a little bit more quality time, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your children. Maybe God is teaching you something brand new all over you. Maybe you were just the kind that just couldn't sit still and you had to do something. You were always on the go. And now God is saying, hey, slow your roll. I'm doing something new in your life. I'm doing something all over again. I want you to go back and remember how I saved you and how I want to use you. That's right. Let's look fifthly right now. Recall. Just recall the Lord's purposes. There's purpose in your life. You're not a coincidence. Can I get an amen? That's right. Because we are coming in for a close right now. And I'm thankful. I've been blessed to come and continue to preach to the saints of God. You know, when this thing took place, and I said, man, how do we stay in contact? Well, guess what? God opened up a door that pastors around the nation can still speak to the children of God, to God's people. And so we are comforted in the Word of God, especially right here in 1 Peter 5 and 10. Look at this. Peter wrote this, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, say that with me, the God of all grace, who called you what? To his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect you, confirm you, and strengthen you, and establish you, even in the midst of this COVID-19. Come on, somebody got to give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. If you're sitting right now in your living room, just praise him. Say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this quality time that you're giving us. That's right. All time is valuable to God and should be valuable to you. And so I close with these final questions. Number one, why is it so hard to let go of our desire to know why certain events happen to us? As I preached in this message, God is looking for you to seek him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. God is looking for you to search the scriptures. God is looking for you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is looking for you to reactivate the gifts that he has given you. That's right. Some of those gifts that he has given you are lying dormant. But God is saying, resurrect those things. I'm doing something new in your life. I want to do something beautiful in your life. Why? Because he loves us. God don't hate us. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. God sent his son to die for us. If it wasn't for that act of love, we would be men and women most miserable here on this earth. There would be no hope, but Jesus is our hope. Can I get an amen? Number two, do you think this displays a lack of trust in God? Why or why not? You ever asked yourself that? You ever asked, oh God, help me. Help me in my unbelief. There are times when we don't believe the things of God because our flesh is enemy to the things of God. There's enmity. There's like a wall. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. Why? Because the things of God are foolishness to them. But the Bible says it's foolish to those who are perishing. But to those he has given eternal life, it is our life. It is our breath. It is our way to communicate with the Holy God. And thirdly, let's look at this. The right response to trials is to immediately direct our thoughts toward God. I hope that's what you're doing. Is this your first reaction? Well, what is your first reaction? What is it? And if so, what benefits have you discovered with this mindset? And if not, what keeps you from focusing on the Lord? What's preventing you right now? Listen, God has your attention. God has your time right now in the palm of his hand. And how are you using this time? Are you complaining? Are you saying, oh man, I see some states, they're going back to their beaches and their parks, but why not us over here? Is that you? Or are you saying, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm going to wait till you open the doors so that we can go back with a renewed mind, a new urgency, knowing that you are coming soon. And so God is coming back very soon. I hope you know that. You see, these messages have been coming across, and not just my messages, messages that pastors have been given. Hopefully they're reminding you that this too shall pass. But the ultimate goal is not to be perfect here on earth, because we will never be perfect here on earth. But we look unto Jesus, who is perfect, that God is perfecting things in us, that we would be prepared and await for his return. That's right. That's right. Soon and very soon, Jesus is about to return. And guess what? We're almost there, saints of God. My question to you, those that are watching right now on Facebook, those that are watching on YouTube, have you ever given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I've got many friends on Facebook, and only a handful attend Amazing Grace. And maybe you logged in. Maybe you're saying, wow, man, you know what? I'm going to check him out. I always get a little reminder that Pastor Fee's coming on at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays or 10:30 on Sunday mornings. I think I'm going to tune in and see what this is all about. And maybe, just maybe, that's you. That's you right now, sitting in the privacy of your home. And God is speaking. God is saying he loves you. God is saying that he has called you. He has called you before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. And he has long suffering. How do I know that? My father, by the grace of God, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 80. And I was privileged to baptize him in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our jacuzzi, in our patio. And God gave him another 13 years to glorify him and to magnify him. Now he's with God. And he's up there. And I know there are many up there waiting for us for that day to meet them there. God has reserved a place for you. But you have to trust in the Lord. You have to come by faith. But the key is to repent of your sins. You got to ask God. See, you know, it's easy to say a simple prayer. Oh God, yeah, I believe. But that doesn't work with God. What needs to take place is a heart of repentance. Listen, the Bible's clear. When God comes again for his church, we're going to meet him in the clouds. What? That's right. You see, behind me, there's clouds right here behind me. God's going to crack the skies one day, and his angel, the whole host of heaven, will be with him. And let's go with the word of God says. If you go, well, show me that. Show me the word right now. Turn with me and look right here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. God's about ready to come for his church. And my question is, are you ready? Have you gotten a secured seat on this beautiful ride that's going to take place? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote to this church to give them hope. And 2,000 years later, we still have that hope. Let's read. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. I just mentioned my father. His body is in the ground, but his soul and spirit is with God. Hallelujah. But when Jesus comes, he's going to resurrect those earthly bodies, and he's going to transform them. And there will be brand new bodies. They're going to be bodies like him. Where does it say that? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. They're going to go first. They're going to go first. They're going to go whoop, and we're going to, wow, look at them. For the Lord himself, verse 16, look at this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we're going to see an event like no other. This is the greatest event that's going to come, and it's going to come very soon. And the world is going to see this. Hallelujah. But you know what? The unbelieving world, they're already prepared. You know what they're going to say? I'm talking to those that rejected God's grace. They're going to say the aliens came and got them. No, Jesus is coming for us. Look what it says in verse 17. Look at this. Then, say that with me. Then, we who are alive and remain shall be what? caught up together with them in the clouds. In other words, those who are going to rise first out of the graves, then we're going to meet with them in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, I didn't mean that. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is going to be a joyous time. This is going to be a time to celebrate. We're going to spend eternity with Christ. That's where my goal is. That's where my heart's desire is, to be with them forevermore. I hope that's what you desire. But here's the key. In order to secure that place, you have to repent. That's right. Repentance is not preached in churches hardly anymore. Oh, just say a simple prayer and God will secure your place. No, there's got to be repentance. There's got to be a godly sorrow. You got to look that, man, I have sinned against God. That he is holy and I am not. That's why the very first sermon given to the apostles was in that upper room when the Holy Ghost came and filled 120, including Jesus' mother. She was there too. She needed the Holy Ghost too. And it was about 9 a.m. in the morning. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in the upper room in one accord. And then suddenly a rushing mighty wind came in and it filled the whole room with power and with the Spirit of God. And on them were cloven tongues of fire. And they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And old scaredy cat Peter, who denied Jesus three times prior to this event, was filled with the power of God, and he was bold now. He came down the steps boldly, and what was taking place right then and there was the Feast of Pentecost. It was the fourth feast of the Lord, and there were thousands of them in Jerusalem celebrating the feast. But those people down there heard them speaking in these unknown tongues, and they thought they were up there in a pub, drunk and drinking. And Peter had to come down and says, this is not wine that you see or hear. And then he brought a word of conviction. He told them it was you. It was your sins that put Jesus Christ on the cross. It was you that caused him to go to the cross. And a conviction fell on them. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And there it is, right here. Let's go there. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This is one of the most famous scriptures in the New Testament, and it's also a promise from God. See, God is not like a man that could lie. When God says he promises something to us, he will fulfill it. Can I get an amen? Look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, what? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall. You see that? You shall. Didn't say maybe. Didn't say I'll think about it. He didn't say, well, look for my tweet. Oh, look for my messenger, Facebook. No, he didn't say that. Oh, wait for the Instagram to come. No, he says you shall. In other words, this is something he promises you. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. My friends, this is the key. If you are tuned in and you haven't left, that's because God is calling you. That's because God has a plan for you. That's why God wants to do something miraculous in your life. And all you have to do is pray a prayer of confession, of repentance to him. Allow me to lead you with that prayer. Now, the prayer, it's not mystical, it's not magical. But prayer has been given to mankind here on earth. Very sinful mankind here on earth. Prayer is a tool that God has given to us so that we can communicate with the holy God in heaven. That's what prayer is for. That's how we can communicate with him. And so, right now, if you're listening to this Facebook and YouTube message right now, I'm going to ask you to just bow your hearts and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. It has to be by faith, and you got to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you right now. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise and glory right where you're at. God is so good. God is so real. And if you need prayer, look on your screen down below. And you can just, if you've given your heart to God, let us know so we can pray for you. Maybe get you a Bible. Get you plugged in to a ministry when God releases us back. And also, if you were blessed with this message, also down below, donations are deeply appreciated, and it will be a blessing if you could still continue to give to the work of the Lord. But I miss you all, and I love you all, and I can't wait to see us all back in the unity of the faith. And so until Sunday, I just want to sign off now and say I love you. I'm praying for you, and I want to pray for all your needs. Just reach out to us, and we'll pray. We got people that will pray. There's ministries all over the place that will pray for you. And so allow me now to send a blessing your way. Allow me to pray the Aaronic blessing upon your life. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll see you next Sunday morning at 10:30. Until then, be blessed, and we love you. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.